it's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yep, I'm back. We back. Ali is away, but he will be back soon. But in the meantime, it's us, you and I. Thank you for your ears, both of them. Appreciate you tuning in. How y'all doing? Really? Okay. Okay, that's deep. Yeah, I hope you, I hope it all works out for sure. You know, happy about to be end of the summer. How was your summer? You enjoying your summer? Summer was good. It's about to be a wrap. This is, what's this, the last weekend? Labor Day coming up this weekend. This is the bookend of it all. This was a long summer. At least it felt like a long summer, but a good, like a, in a way where it was like, I felt like I got my summer's worth, you know? I felt like I had double summer. It wasn't like long in the way where the shit was miserable. It was like a good summer. I enjoyed myself. We, you know, we talked about this. But yeah, this was a good summer. I hope y'all enjoyed your summer. I hope you went somewhere. I ain't go nowhere. Not too many places. I think it's going to be the last summer for a while where I ain't going nowhere. I had to check myself the other day for sure. Got some ice water here, just a little bit. I ain't even had enough time to get the water cold. I gotta get some new ice cubes going. I ain't got no mason jar. This is just regular glass. We out here roughing it. What is going on though, man? I'm chilling. I had a cool little week. I tried to go to the MJ Spike Lee joint, you know, for Michael Jackson's birthday. You know, the annual block party. I thought it was a block party. I thought it was going to be on the block, do the right thing block, like typical. Or maybe I'm thinking of the do the right thing block party Spike throw. But this shit was at Fort Greene Park. And I tried to get out there. I had a late start. I tried to get out there. I did a little running around, got some couple things to eat, some of my little spots out there. And then I tried to pull up, engage in the festivities, but traffic was ridiculous. The parking was horrendous. I was tired. I'm not going to lie. I was up super, super, super late the night before. So that kind of impacted everything. And I was just like, man, I did a lap. And it was a crazy hearty lap. Like the traffic was crazy. And I could tell it was rocking. Because motherfuckers was just spilt out onto the streets. I had to like basically swerve around an electric slide that swerved into the streets. That's how black and fun that shit was. It was rocking. You know what I mean? It was like, oh shit. I seen one spot. It was one of them spots where you had to, it was almost like a double park situation. I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that shit. I took it to the house. And honestly, I don't regret it. FOMO don't come that crazy. And I told you, man, I don't want to say I'm FOMO proof, but it don't really happen like that. I seen enough. I've been to some of them. I've been to enough joints. I seen enough on Instagram to see what I missed. And it was cool. It looked like a vibe, but I wasn't trying to spin that block. It took me about 20 minutes to go around the block. At least 20 minutes just to go around the block. And I was like, man, let me get the fuck out of here. So I didn't engage, but it looked good. If you went, let me know. Yesterday I went out to, or the day before yesterday, and this is some more New York shit. I went out to this place called Jubilee Market. That's out in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. And it's been, I don't know if it's been going viral, but I've been seeing this shit on my timeline. And I saw an eater profile about this little MetroCard burger. I call it the MetroCard burger. It's $2.90, not an Omni. $2.90. It's actually more expensive than the Omni because it's like $3.15 with tax. But it's like a little $2.90 slider that they got. And then it's also these little $5 rotisserie chickens. And I like rotisserie chicken. You know, typically I like to do my own rotisserie chicken. But I was like, you know what? They got a joint called the $5 Cluck, which I guess is a play off the old Trader Joe's $2 Chuck. You know, the $2 $2 wine back in the day. Ain't even no $2. Ain't no more $2 chuck going on anywhere. But now they got the little $5 cluck in the little MetroCard burger. So I was like, let me go out to Greenpoint. Let me go cop this. Had a burger. Had a burger for lunch. Bring the rotisserie home. Had that shit for dinner. And I'm thinking, yo, I gotta get there soon, because I'm thinking everybody, you know, saw this little fucking profile on Eater and they've been seeing it on the timeline. So I'm thinking them shits go fast. You know, I'm thinking it's gonna be a whole thing. I'm hustling. Again, I had a late start. I haven't been sleeping good at all. We'll talk about that in a second. I get all the way down there and I get down there and shit. And I'm thinking, yo, it's going, you know, hopefully there's still some. I'm getting down there like a little bit after lunchtime. I'm like, I hope niggas ain't snatch it up on some lunchtime shit. I got to the spot. That shit is a regular ass grocery store. It's just a regular fucking grocery store. Upstairs, they got the little grill where they doing the little $2.99 to $2.90 burger. And then downstairs, you know, they got the rotisserie chickens just sitting on the warmers. Like most places had their rotisserie chickens just sitting on the warmers. It's a regular fucking grocery. I don't know what I thought. I didn't even watch the Eater profile, but I was like, oh, shit, Eater done talked about it. It's got to be lit. Man, I get there. I'm coming down the escalator into the supermarket, and I see this young girl, this black girl. Like she worked there. And I'm still thinking, uh-oh, I hope I got there in time. I'm like, yo, where's the rotisserie chicken? She pointed over there, but she pointed in a way. It was like, this nigga want them chicken. That's what you're doing? So I asked, I said, yo, how are they? Are they good? She was like, nah. I said, ah. I got the damn chicken. I got the burger. I had the burger. Burger was fine. The burger was fine. It's a burger. It's a smash burger. $2.90. It's not bad. It's decent bang for your buck. I get home. I reheat the rotisserie later on. Man, that shit is Reggie Jackson. It is so regular, so mid-tier. That shit is garbage. I won't say garbage. That was far. Garbage. It's fine. $5. $5. I typically don't do the in-the-store rotisseries anyway. I just don't. They just be looking sad to me. I get it. They good bargain. No shame in the bargain, never. That's what my homie always say. No shame in the bargain, for sure. But it was. It's not the most flavorful. It was dry. It was dry. It was dry. Dry like your phone after a breakup. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I wouldn't do it again. I wouldn't do it for the rotisserie. If I'm in the area, nope. I was about to say, if I'm in the area, I'd go get the burger, but it ain't even worth going out my way. I did while I was out that way. I went to Peter Pan, got me one of my little blueberry buttermilk donuts. Those are always on point. So that was cool. It was, you know, the journey was the journey. It wasn't worth going to. If you in that area, check it out. Let me know. But I'd say it's regular. I'd say it's a 3 out of 5. It ain't even nothing crazy. Ain't nothing to look forward to. I got half of it. I might have it after this. I ain't even looking forward to it, is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. It's one of those things. You know, sometimes when you got leftovers, it's like money burning a hole in your wallet. You can't wait to reheat that shit, get back into it. You know what I mean? Other times you get leftovers and them shits just kind of vanish in the refrigerator. You see it 4 days later. You're like, oh, I forgot. I did have this. You just throw it in the trash. Hopefully that's not the fate of this other side of this rotisserie chicken. But yeah, I got caught up in the hype. I do still, like I said, I don't get FOMO that much, but I do get caught up in a little bit of food hype. I do, you know, and I've been trying, and I'm still, you know, I think honestly, I've been pretty moderate with it. Like I don't super overindulge, but when it's times, when I know I'm going to be in a certain area and there's places that I like to go to, I go to it. Like when I was in Brooklyn, there's a couple spots that I went to. I hit up Fan Fan Donut Spot. I like their donuts. They got good donuts. I hit the Hot Pot. They got good doubles. You know what I'm saying? Hit those spots. I hit those spots before I tried to hit the Spike Lee shit because I was like, let me make sure because I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen at the Spike Lee situation. And I was tired. I told you it was a long day. So it was what it was. It's crazy now, too, because the fucking the groceries are starting to seem compromised. Every other day, something new that's getting recalled. First, it was the lettuce that was getting recalled. Then I see the guacamole that got recalled. And then I saw that the rice, the expensive rice. I hadn't had that rice before, that expensive rice. That shit got recalled. You like, shit. Then you know, the tin foil. I don't even want to call it the tin foil because that kind of, like, diminishes it. But the people are like, yo, this is part of Project 2025. Destabilize the food sources. You know, have people kind of reluctant to eat certain things. And yeah, it's getting crazy. Now you go in grocery shop, you better keep your receipt. You know, just in case shit get recalled, you need your money back. You know what I mean? Like, nah. This is on the recall list. Let me get this back. Now start growing your own rice. You got to grow your own rice on your windowsill. You know what I mean? Growing ramen in the house. How you grow ramen? How do you make ramen from scratch? But yeah, man, y'all be safe. Listen to me, y'all be safe. We all got, y'all and me. Let's all be safe out here. Pay attention, because the FDA, I don't even think there is anybody. I don't think nobody work at the FDA no more. You know what I'm saying? I think that shit is just an empty desk with the phone ringing and ringing and ringing. They might be outsourcing it to India, doing them little virtual assistant apps. You know, motherfucker over there taking all them calls about, yo, don't eat that meat. Don't eat that. Nah. Oh, yo, I told you that shit was good. Nah, it ain't good. My bad. That's what the people doing when they got to recall their product. Yo, I know I just sent y'all some peaches, right? Yeah, listen, my bad. Don't bite into them shits. Them shits is, they fucked up. They fucked up. Yeah, don't do that. Sorry. I'll send you another batch in a couple of weeks. But right now, just stay cool. Tell the people, please. Put it in a newsletter. Shit. You got to pay attention. You got to watch the news before you take a bite. Yeah, I'm not sleeping well. I don't know. I'm not sleeping well. It's hit or miss. Some nights I'll just be up, you know. Or some nights I'm up doing stupid shit rather than sleep. I'm scrolling or I'm looking at movies. I'm on the phone or whatever. And like, just go get some rest. I slept all right yesterday, but it's day by day. A friend of mine told me about these little magnesium pills. I might get some of those, but I don't want to be on nothing. You know, I just gotta lay my ass down. I gotta be my own parent. Go to bed. Lay your ass down somewhere. Maybe that'll work. We'll see. It's an interesting story. I'm sure we all seen the story of the fake 49er. The fake 49er. What's my man's name? Dejon Love. 35. He out here faking women. Faking women. Telling women that he's a 49er. He's defrauded of more than two dozen women out of $1.3 million. Damn. $1.3 million out of fucking 24 women's. Sheesh. I saw some of his footage. The first set of footage I saw, it was a little believable. He had access to places where I was like, damn, how you get access to that? Like, he seemed like he was in, I don't know if he was using other people's Instagram story footage, which he probably could have been doing. Maybe he was screenshotting it or screen recorded it and then repurposing it. But it looked like he had access. It looked like he was on the field. Looked like, you know. And then I saw some other footage later on that looked silly. That didn't look believable. But that first wave of footage, I was like, okay, I could see how he was getting it off a little bit. At least getting people to believe that he was on the team. You know, first of all, you know, if you're not the star quarterback, running back, wide receiver, it's only a couple real high profile positions on a football team to where people might know who you are. Everybody got a helmet on. You know, that's always been what's kind of undermined the football players wearing the helmet. You know, you play for the 49ers and you good. You good. You might even be somebody's fantasy. You know, you made some people some money on fantasy football and all of that. Like, you good. You know, Pro Bowl and everything. But take that, you know, once you take that helmet off, you just a civilian. Nobody know you. Nobody know your face. They know you. They might know your name. They might know your number. Maybe if you wore your jersey out to the club, but you would look silly. So I say all that to say, I see how you could fake a little bit of that. Even if you play the lie, like you do the lie, but you do a little modesty with the lie. Yeah, you know, I'm second string right now. You know, I messed up my Achilles. You know what I'm saying? I'm probably going to get my position back. But right now, I gotta play the bench for a minute. But, you know, there ain't nothing. They got me on a, you know what I'm saying? They got me on a, you know, on a retainer. So I'm probably only going to get about $6 or $7 million this year. But, you know, back, you know, you could talk that talk and it could work. I could see how you could think, especially if you're just a casual fan. You know what I mean? You see enough photos of a motherfucker with a helmet on. You know what I'm saying? You're like, all right. But the moment they start asking you for money, that's when you need to be a little bit more diligent, a little bit more mindful. Start asking questions. Start doing your Googles, you know? Quietly, you should have probably done your Googles prior, but anytime somebody asks you for money, man or woman, anytime somebody say, listen, especially if they're talking about, they got an opportunity for you. I got an opportunity for you is one of the opening bars of many, many grifts. And he caught $1.3 million off of 24 women, you know? And it might even be more than 1.3. This is just what's reported. 1.3 million, he done got him, you know? He should have been on the Spend That remix, actually, because that is scamming. That nigga was scamming. Dejan Love. That Dejan Love. That nigga sound like a fucking Quiet Storm DJ. Dejan. Remember Prince Dejor? Remember Prince Dejor on, what was he on, Teen Summit? Let me know if y'all remember Prince Dejor. But, yeah, Dejan Love. Hey, this is Dejan Love. This is his second Venmo request. He's just saying, hey, don't miss out on the opportunity. But, yeah, look like he's facing, not look like, he is facing Fed charges. What's the charges here? Looks like FBI. The FBI arrested Dejan and Taylor Jamie Chan. I don't know who that is. Chan is part of the scheme as well. I get, you know, I don't know what Chan's part is. Chan is only 18. But together they are looking like they got charged with conspiracy to commit wire fraud. And wire fraud. Oh, conspiracy to commit wire fraud and wire fraud. I don't know how many years that's going to get them, but y'all got to be more careful out here. Don't send no money. That's off rip. Just don't send no money. Especially if a motherfucker's supposed to be in the NFL and you not in the NFL. You know, don't do that. Especially if you don't even have their card. Like before you send somebody that say they're in the NFL, get one of their cards and get a real card. Got to be Tops, Upper Deck, Fleer. I don't even know if they still make Fleer or Donruss. See if you could track down their card. Go to like one of the, I forgot what the name of the damn, the prize guy, the Beckett. Put their name in Beckett and see if it pops up. They ain't in Beckett. They ain't on the team. It's so many ways to find out is what I'm saying. Do your Googles is all I'm saying. Definitely do your Googles before you send money, but be honest, do not send no money. In other crime news, Dwayne Keith Davis, 63, a.k.a. Keefy D, was found guilty of first-degree murder of Tupac Shakur. Ain't that some shit? After 30 years, Keefy D has been found guilty of killing Tupac. And the crazy shit is, it feels very underwhelming. I feel like nobody talking about this. This is Tupac. But I guess it's been 30 years or whatever. And it's just like now, 30 years later, we finally got somebody has finally been, somebody has finally been found guilty and killing Tupac. The case has been solved. This was a 30-year cold case. And I feel like, for whatever reason, it seems like it's not really making no noise. I would say because there's not much hip hop media anymore, but I feel like this is such a big story. I'm reading about it in the Times, but it's like below the fold. You know, it just don't feel like it's as big a thing as it should have been. But damn, Dwayne Keith Davis, 63, nigga found guilty. First degree murder. Looks like he could get, 30 years to life? Yeah, get 30 years to life, I think he could receive up to life in prison. See, the thing is with this, so Keefe, if he did it, allegedly, I guess he got caught a while back for like a drug case. And he was almost going to get life for that, I want to say, or at least 30 years or something like that. So then I guess at that point, he admitted to having something to do with Tupac's murder, I guess in exchange for immunity. So he thought, but then turns out he didn't have the immunity he thought he had. You know what I'm saying? This nigga had the basic immunity. He didn't even have premium. This nigga had immunity with ads. You know, so he out here on podcasts talking about the shit. And like, you know, he put out a memoir in 2019, all of this shit about how he was probably the last person to see Tupac alive and all of this other shit because he thought he was good. Nah. This is the thing. If you go commit crime, particularly murder, first of all, don't commit murder. You know what I mean? Like, just if you could help it, and I think you could. I think you can, really. 9 times out of 10, you could say, you know what? I'm not going to do the murder. You know what I mean? So if you just don't commit murder, but if you do or any other infraction, especially infractions with long fucking, you know, no real statute of limitations or just a long tail on it legally, shut the fuck up. Don't go on a podcast. Don't crack no mic. Especially don't go, even if it's your own podcast, don't talk about it. Definitely go on a podcast where you don't even have editing control. Where you know, because sometimes you get on these podcasts, I see it all the time on Club Shay Shay. You know, you pour you a little bit of that. I don't know what that shit is called. La Poitier or whatever the fuck in that little fancy decanter. That shit, niggas get to talking. They get to talking. Next thing you know, you done said all types of shit, you know. You know what I mean? You done called your baby mother out her name, and then you just trying to get that cut from the internet because that shit can fuck everything up. Or you go on, you know, one of these podcasts that are just, it's all about regaling in criminal past. You know what I'm saying? Whether you got convicted or didn't get convicted, it's the whole, like, you know what it is. You know what the platform's there. Why go there and tell the people about some shit that you seemingly got away with? Not that I don't want no justice served. Happy that justice is served. You know, this is a beautiful thing. I'm sure the remaining family of Tupac's, Tupac's remaining family, I'm sure they're pleased. I'm sure a lot of the Tupac fans are pleased. You know, it's good. Hopefully we can find the killer of Big, you know, but it's just like, shut the fuck up. But then the other thing is sometimes when I think about, was it G-Dep? I think it was G-Dep. Sometimes if you do get away with something like that, it's so heavy on your spirit, that guilt is so much. That maybe you wanna atone, maybe you wanna get caught. You know, who knows? But damn. So that is case closed on the Tupac murder. Rest in peace, Tupac. Almost 30 years. At some point, I'm be honest with you, at some point I thought it was just gonna be cold forever. Like we never gonna know. You just hear like little whispers of it could be this person, it could be that person. But now we got somebody that's looking like they about to go to jail. He said, KVD said he's gonna appeal. Man, he should have just been quiet. I know I'm old because I don't know shit about this little Dirk case, and I'm not even really trying to get informed. I would say the shit don't look good, but I don't even know if it look good or it don't. You know the thing about Lil Durk to me, you know, I was never a big Lil Durk fan musically or whatever, and I used to hear all of the, you know, the talk about Lil Durk. He just always looked like such a, like an innocent looking kid, like in the face. You know what I'm saying? He didn't look menacing. He just looked like, you know, like a little kid, big old eyes and shit, like a little kid. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, that shit is, it's just a plot twist. You know, I don't know what he did, what he capable of. I know some of the allegations, but he just he don't have the face that you would be like, that's the guy. But who knew? anyway, man, hopefully we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I'm not informed enough to say anything else other than that. I watched the Netflix premiere of Grand Theft Auto 6. Now, I'm not a video game person. I haven't played video games. My last video game console was the PS2 many, many, many years ago. And that just turned into a DVD player for me. I don't seem to have the patience to play video games outside of like fighting games, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, something that's just like straight to the point. Madden, you know, 2K, that's about it. These little RPGs, these immersive ass games that are like 60 hours of or more, 60 plus hours of playing time, I've never had the patience for it. I think I had the last Grand Theft Auto I had was Vice City. And the shit is fly. Like, you could just not even try to play the game and just explore the world that they present. That's the best thing about all of these Grand Theft games to me. It's just how detailed and how in-depth they go with the world building. This world looks like it's Miami. They don't call it Miami, but it looks like Miami. It looks like South Beach and other parts of Miami. Look, the shit is fly. And the storyline is crazy. This time it seems like it's tracking a duo. It's a guy and a girl. Like, they're together. They're like a couple. And they do crime together. They like each other. You know, they hold each other's down. I guess you play as both of them. I'm not sure. I don't know how that works. Or maybe you play as one. You pick which one you want to play at. I'm not sure how it look. But it's like a 35-minute. That's crazy that there's a 35-minute trailer on Netflix for this game. It's 35-minute trailer for a video game. That's just how in-depth the game is. The shit look fly. The shit look fly. I'm not getting it, but it's amazing. It's amazing. I understand why it took so long for it. I don't know when the last one came out, but, you know, I would see everybody saying, damn, we're going to get this before we get GTA 6. You know, so I knew it was sometime. It'd take a minute, but damn. It looked like it was worth it. The shit is fly. It's just so immersive. They go into they look like they go to the hood. They go to somebody's like projects and they go in to meet somebody and they got to go. They in the, you know what I'm saying, in the lobby, and then the cat standing in front of the elevator. I talk to him. He take you up on the elevator. He open up, knock on the door. You go into the joint. It's wild. This shit is fly. If you haven't seen it, go on Netflix. Check that shit out. It's fly. Let me know. If you're a video game head, if you mess with any of the Grand Theft Auto games, let me know, one, if you're getting it, what system you're getting it for. If you are a super video game head, what's your favorite video game out now? You know, all of that. And yo, when I be saying, yo, let me know, like, let me know. It's not rhetorical. Like, let me know and put the, you know, comments is open. Jump in there. Talk some shit. Let's make this a conversation. You know what I'm saying? It's the end of the conversation. Y'all are in this bitch with me. I saw the Bird movie. That's the name of the movie. It's called Bird, the Bird movie. I saw this movie called Bird. It's a Clint Eastwood directed movie about Charlie Parker. Forest Whitaker plays Charlie Parker. He does his thing. The movie's fine. The movie ain't nothing crazy. I think after I saw Around Midnight, I guess I was on a jazz movie kick. I was reading somewhere like, yo, if you saw that, you might like Bird. Somebody told me, or I read it somewhere. So I went and found Bird. It's not bad. I mean, Forest Whitaker always going to be dope. Story was nothing super crazy. Kind of cliche. Again, the whole thing, black genius. And then like a white steward to kind of make sure that, you know, they stay on the right path. It's all the self-sabotage and, you know, that comes along with being a genius. And, you know, obviously, Charlie Parker dies. That's not no spoiler. It starts at like him getting on the circuit and not being dope. And I guess going away somewhere. Because what happened is a moment where one of the cats that used to be the man, he was doing like auditions on the bandstand, basically. And it was just a bunch of saxophonists just to come up and play with him, right? And if you're not good, he'd tell you to get off the stage. And if you're really bad, the drummer takes his cymbal off and throws that shit on the onto the stage. And that's like the Sandman with the hook. Like, get the fuck out of here. So he's on the stage And he's getting off a little bit in the beginning, but he start doing too much. And one of the cats that's in the line, the audition's like, come on, nigga, just get off. You did your thing, get off. But he got his eyes closed. He think he in the pocket. And everybody just looking at him. Because I think the thing with Charlie Parker, from what I understand, Charlie Parker, I want to say is credited for creating bebop, which is almost like the hip-hop of jazz, which I also found out recently that old school jazz musicians don't fuck with the term jazz. They wasn't feeling that term. Because jazz, I think, has something to do with like, I think it was slang for like pussy. Like buying, you know, buying some pussy in the world. You know what I mean? Going to a prostitute. She's selling jazz. I think it's like some New Orleans slang or whatever. So a lot of cats, they felt like it was a way to like diminish what they was really doing. It's always like that. You know what I mean? It always seems to be like some fly, some black genius shit. And somebody's like, ah, just call it jazz. You know what I'm saying? Just call it balls music. You know what I mean? What the fuck? Some old derogatory shit to sum the whole movement up. You know? But anyway, yeah, back in the day, a lot of cats did not fuck with jazz. I read that in the Fab Five Freddy book. Max Roach, I don't know if he ever came out with his memoir, but his memoir was supposedly going to be called Jazz is a Four-Letter Word. Like, they don't fuck with it. But anyway, I believe Charlie Parker was known for creating bebop, so his shit was, like, you know, all over the place. It wasn't just the standards, you know? He wasn't just playing the safe shit. So he closes his eyes, he get into the, you know, kind of just scatting on the sax and shit, and they are not feeling it. They throw that cymbal. And he walks away dejected. So this is a cat kind of recalling that moment when he was the man. He's like, yeah, Charlie came up on my bandstand. I gave him an opportunity. He wasn't good. This is years, and they come back. He comes back. He's like, you know, he said, nah, Charlie different now. He's like, get out of here. Nah, it can't be the same Charlie I know. You know, that type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Go home and get your shine box. You know, that type of, nah, you forever my son. You know that type of feeling? He walk up in there and Charlie is in the zone and the flow state. You know, all of that fly shit. His nigga's like, oh, shit. And the cat was like, that's the Charlie, right? He's like, yeah, that's the Charlie. You see him walking home. I forget where they was, but he go to the bridge. He just throw his fucking saxophone off the bridge into the water. Just that's how he quit. He's like, fuck it. Charlie did some shit where he was like, you know what? I'm done. I can't even do this shit no more. You know? It's like when, you know, the rappers that was, yes, yes, y'all. You know what I'm saying? And they heard Rakim say some old, you know what I mean? Get it to his fucking paid in full bag. Check out my melody. His wordplay. Now that nigga was fucking doing all types of pocket. You know what I mean? It's like, uh-oh. Trainer left the station. Let me cash out. Let me get my chips cash out. Figure this shit out. Jazz films be shot well. I like those type of, I like how this one, the little performance, how they shot like the clubs. Because it remind me a lot of like good stand-up rooms. You know, low ceilings, dark. You know, this is back in the days we could still smoke in the club and shit like that. So that always looks good on camera. That's almost like a cheat code. But the story was kind of thin. I'll be honest with you. The story was kind of thin. It's not high on my recommendation list, I'll say that. It's just right there with the $5 rotisserie chicken. Maybe a notch higher. Speaking of movies, I saw this thing, and, you know, cats would have any type of caption to get traction, you know, on YouTube particularly. So it was this one video. It was like, everybody's talking about A24 Blacks. First of all, everybody's not talking about it. It's like the only video I've seen, only real documentation I've really seen outside this video. Maybe a couple tweets or threads or whatever. But anyway, the whole thing is, it's like a new way to kind of group, I guess, persnickety black people that seem to like a certain type of TV, movie media, you know, that A24, I guess that quite the quote unquote prestige, or I think they were saying like black stories presented by white people, you know? And I get what they're saying, for sure. I get what they're saying. I understand. I get the context they're trying to pull. I don't like it just for the fact that, whether it's A24 Blacks, New Line Cinema Blacks, Tyler Perry blacks or whatever other blacks. It's always blacks. And sometimes these little things, it's just another ploy to kind of divide and conquer. And especially now where shit seems to be critical that we lean into the solidarity of the community. Even if we don't even all the way fuck with each other. You know what I'm saying? We ain't no monolith. You know what I mean? We know that. But like, if we don't all the way fuck with each other, let's hold each other down at least in the midst of a, you know, of attack. But it just feels like a clever slash cheap way to just divide the people. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. You know what I mean? You don't want to get pretentious or whatever. It's very easy to get pretentious, especially talk about movies and shit, especially we start calling it cinema and film and all of that. You know what I mean? Shit, I run the risk. You know, but it's like, I think you should always, just my own opinion, I feel like you should always keep your intake of consideration broad. You know, like, don't dismiss shit, because you never know. Don't judge a book by a cover. Don't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge a fucking movie by its producer or its director. Like, if it looks interesting, check it out. It could be whack. It could be all of that fly shit. Celebrate it, because that's the thing about A24. And we talking broader than just the A24 blacks. A24 right now, they must have a nice budget for publicity and media, because the way that their shit is always presented in this way is damn near always immediately prestigious, like the name you can trust. You know, and they built it off of a Diesel catalog, but there's some bombs in there too. But, you know, they riding the wave of quote-unquote prestige. And oftentimes, a lot of that quote unquote prestige shit don't always include black people, you know, or black productions. You know what I mean? But anyway, I'm just rambling at this point. I just thought it was interesting. Everybody ain't talking about it, but I was like, let me just have a take on it. Hopefully, it don't really catch too much steam. But I just thought it was kind of funny. A24 blacks. You know what I mean? Like, it's silly. It's silly for sure. But, yeah, if you think you're an A24 black, jump in the comment. Or what type of black are you? I'm just black. I'm regular black. We used to have that shit. We used to talk about that shit. Regular black, classic black. And then at one point it was like new black. It was certain people that was walking around talking about, I'm new black. It's like, get the fuck out of here. But anyway, I don't really have a take on the Erykah Badu Alchemist album as much as I've been wanting to hear it. I only really spun it once so far. I like it, but I haven't really sat with it yet, and it deserves me sitting with it. You know what I'm saying? Before I really kind of, you know, I got to process it. But it's cool. It's I don't even want to say it's dense. It's a mood. It's a mood, and it's kind of like, at least upon first listen, it's not a lot of change up in the sonics and how it sounds, which is not that surprising, because Alchemist is kind of, he's known for that. Like, he's known for, you know, a sound. He ain't always the most sonically dynamic. You know what I mean? This shit is Alchemist type shit. It's good, but it's a thing. It's not all over the place. It's not like, okay, this one's for the radio. This one, like, I was talking to Muhammad. He was like, yo, what's the standouts? And I was like, I don't know. I only heard it once. So it was some joints on there, but I can't say, yo, this, you know, sometimes on the first list, you could be like, ooh, this is the one. I gotta hear this a couple times. I didn't catch that. But I don't want to say it's bad or it's good. It's just like, I got to give it a, especially with her pen. Like, Erykah always, her shit always got a little double meaning to it, a little depth and all of that. I got to get to it. But I will say there's a skit on there where, well, I guess she getting waxed, and that shit is funny as hell. Just remind me how funny Erykah Badu is. She hilarious. And that shit was the standout. That shit made me laugh. Speaking of making motherfuckers laugh, listen, I will be at Comedy in Harlem, September 19th, Saturday, September 19th. Tickets are still available, comedyinharlem.com. Also, Arlington Draft House. September 20th, 7 p.m. Sunday, September 20th, Arlington Draft House. I believe tickets are still available. I'm trying to sell both of these shits out. So if you in the vicinity of either, go to DamianLemon.com or either URL that I just gave you and go pick up some tickets for you and your peoples. Bring the 824 blacks. You know what I'm saying? Bring them out. That's it. It's time to transform and roll out. You know, it was good. I'm glad y'all listened. You know, we had a good time. I hope you enjoyed it. Jump in them comments, man. Engage with this shit, man. You know, engage with it. Let's make this a conversation for sure. Or, you know, whatever. I just want to hear from y'all. You know, as always, tell a friend to tell a friend and even an enemy to get in the conversation.